the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, on each Sunday during the Great Fast, we commemorate things in addition to the resurrection, for Sunday is always the day of the resurrection. If you recall, the first Sunday of Lent, we remembered the triumph of orthodoxy over all heresies. Next, we remembered St. Gregory Palamas and his teaching on the spiritual path and experience of the Church. Then, last Sunday, in the middle of the fast, and forming its center point, we commemorated the precious and life-giving cross, the instrument of torture which became the new tree of life, and through which joy has come into all the world. Today, the Church sets before us the righteous John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus, one of the great ascetics of the Church, which the Church, in speaking of them, calls earthly angels or heavenly men. These great ascetics were extraordinary people. But before saying anything else, we need to set the context just a bit, because we're speaking here about real human beings, real people, not some other species, not people from a different planet, not people under different conditions of life than ours. In the Old Testament, men and women who lifted their eyes and looked to God were at times vouchsafed gifts from the Holy Spirit. Abraham and Sarah were given a child in their old age in a miraculous manner. Elijah the Tishbite raised the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. Esther was given great courage and wisdom by God. A young man, David, slew the mightiest giant in the land. Daniel, the prophet, was granted great visions of extraordinary things to come and of the heavenly worship of God. And so on and so forth. Again, these were regular people of the same nature as us. Don't slip into story time mode, where it's easy to speak of fantastic things, yet without any tether to actual reality. These, again, were regular people. Yet the grace of God visited them, helped them, and was with them. And these figures, extraordinary as their experience was, were all figures of the Old Covenant. Now, with the coming of the New Covenant, with the advent of Jesus Christ, with the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the establishment of the Church, the world sees things even more extraordinary. As St. Cyril of Jerusalem says, yes, the Holy Spirit inspired figures in the Old Testament period, but this level of the presence of the Spirit lay far beneath the level of the presence and power of the Spirit seen now in the age of the Church. One example St. Cyril gives is that in the Church, people are not only inspired by the Holy Spirit, like the great prophets of the Old Testament, but now men breathe the Holy Spirit himself, the very Spirit of life, onto other men. We do this at the making of catechumens. We do this again at the exorcism prayers before the holy baptism. And this is also what occurs at the holy chrismation. We breathe the very Spirit of life onto other men, showing, he says, the closeness and intimacy of the union of men with God himself, which was won for us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, as I said a few minutes before, the great ascetics of the Church are extraordinary people. They command the elements. wild beasts willingly and readily obey them. For them, there are no maladies that they cannot cure. They walk on water as on dry land. They are raised off the ground into the air in their prayers. They see things not yet come to pass. They read the thoughts and hearts of men like a book. All the elements of the earth are subject to them because they live in God and have the power of grace to overcome even the laws of nature. In our world, in our age, in people born to parents just like you and I, one such ascetic, one such athlete of Jesus Christ, was St. John of the Ladder. He's named of the ladder, Climacos in Greek, because he wrote an enduring work, The Ladder of Divine Ascent. And in this work, we see how, by 30 rungs of the ladder, the Christian may gradually ascend from life below, caught in the many distractions and snares of this passing world, to the heights of supreme spiritual maturity and perfection. We see how one virtue leads to another as a person rises higher and higher and finally attains to the height of the crown of the virtues, which John calls Christian love. St. John wrote his incredible work especially for his monastics, but his ladder has always been cherished by the whole church in Greece, throughout the Middle East, in Russia, for anyone zealous to live a pious life. In this work, John clearly shows how a man passes from one step to the next. And he says that this ascent from rung to rung is indispensable for anyone who wishes to save his soul unto eternal life. When we throw a stone up into the air, it ascends higher and higher until the moment when the force that propelled it stops having an effect. So long as this force acts, the stone travels higher. I don't know, we might have to ask Paul. He's the scientist here. As long as this force acts, the stone travels higher, overcoming the opposing force of the earth's gravity. But when the propelling force is spent, the stone does not just remain suspended up there in the air. What happens? Immediately, it begins to fall. And the further it falls, the greater the speed of its fall. This occurs according to the physical law of gravity. Well, according to Metropolitan Philaret of Moscow, who suggests this image, something similar also occurs in the spiritual life. As a Christian practices his faith, the force of grace, which enters his life by the doorway of our spiritual practice or our ascetical labors, lifts him on high. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate." That is, the Christian ought to be an ascetic, not only the monastic, but every Christian. Each must take pains for our soul and for our life. Each must direct his life on the Christian path and purge his soul of what is filthy or impure. Yet if the Christian who is ascending the ladder of spiritual maturity by his practice and labors, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, ceases from this training, his soul won't remain in the condition to which it arrived, but rather, like a stone, it will fall back to the earth. More and more quickly, it will drop, until finally, if the man doesn't come to his senses, it will cast him down into the very abyss of hell. This reality is seen in the icon which Christ sets before us today. And I always say, be careful where you kiss that icon. There's lots of little black demons on there. So Let us remember that the path of Christianity is, well, a path. Something ongoing. A path of ongoing what? Training in righteousness, which is to say, spiritual and ascetic practice. As St. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he continues and adds in the next line, let those of us who are mature be thus minded. Or again, last Sunday we heard the Lord say, he that would come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. The Lord said this with greatest emphasis. Therefore, the Christian must be one who takes up his cross, and his life, likewise, should be a joyful ascetic labor of bearing that cross. Whatever our outward circumstance, be we a monk or a layperson, if we don't continue to train and force ourselves to mount upwards, then of a certainty we will fall lower and lower. The fasts of her church, which we're, of course, amidst right now, and all of her curriculum have been set by our Lord for all humankind. Only some of us are following that curriculum. Our great ascetics, like St. John of the Ladder, fast even more rigorously than what the church prescribes. But this is a matter of their spiritual zeal. The church doesn't ask this of everyone, because it isn't in accord with everyone's strength. But the church does set before every Orthodox Christian the fasts which our Lord has established. Our spiritual practice doesn't itself bring grace. Grace comes from God in his time and his wisdom. Our spiritual practices, our fasts, our prayers, keeping vigil, attending the services of the church, reading Holy Scripture, so forth and so on, are simply means. But as St. Seraphim of Sarov says, they are the indispensable means of Christian life, for they were set by Christ himself to give shape to our longing for life in him. Once, a mother came to St. Seraphim, concerned for how she might best help guide her daughter to a good marriage. Listen to how he answered her. Before all else, he says, ensure that he whom your daughter chooses as her companion for life keeps the fasts. If he doesn't, then he's not walking a Christian life, whatever he may consider himself to be. You see how the greatest saint of the Russian church, a man who knows what Christianity is far better than I do, speaks concerning the fasts. St. John Climacus describes for us the ladder of spiritual ascent, the pattern of growth in life in Christ. Let us not forget that this path, this narrow way, is set out joyously before each of our Christian souls. This is the path which those who draw near to God walk. This is the manner of life of those who surpass the world and are filled with the deifying and unlimited grace and energy and power of God. This is the way which Christ has established for the salvation of the world. This is the way by which we might become even higher than the angels. Our great ascetics ascend these rungs like swiftly flying eagles. Let us not fail to ascend at all, remembering that our Lord has promised that his yoke is easy and his burden light. And remembering that unless we employ the energy God has given us to correct ourselves and our lives, to grow in life in him, we shall cease our ascent. And then, most assuredly, we shall begin to fall. Amen.